We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
From the GTDG.com studios in downtown San Francisco, you're listening to 95.7 The Game.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on, pump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the championship rounds of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Great to have you with us on this Wu-Tang Wednesday, also known as Warrior Wednesday, brought to you by our friends at Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. We've got a lot to get to in the final hour. We are streaming live on the website, 957thegame.com. You can see us there. Check it out. Let us know what you think on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. But right now, we go out to the dial pad guest line and bring on Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated, joining Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Mark, good morning and thank you for your time. Wild, wild iteration of the NBA Finals this year. All your years covering basketball, have you ever seen this much, this many twists and turns in an NBA Finals?
That last game was one of the greatest NBA Finals games I've ever seen, one of the most memorable games I've ever seen. I will remember it forever. It was almost like a movie, just all the craziness that happened. And then kind of behind the scenes, seeing this stuff too. Like when you have games like that where a team could be eliminated, I like to go stand by the visiting team or the team in peril's locker room and kind of watch stuff. But it was, you know, behind the scenes, you saw some Canadian media cheering as the Raptors went ahead. You saw some of the media wearing raincoats preparing for the champagne shower in the, you know, in the locker room, family members being rushed to the floor. It kind of reminded me about that Miami-San Antonio game where they roped the floor off. You know, Jordan Bell said, yeah, you could sense they were preparing to celebrate. And then, boom, man, the Warriors figured it out. They stayed alive, and they gave everybody the gift of one last go in Oracle Arena.
Were the Warriors ever really able to celebrate or show any real satisfaction at the accomplishment, or was it completely shrouded by the misery of the KD injury?
No, Draymond Green told me that's the greatest win of his life. So he had it in perspective. I mean, certainly everybody was down because of KD, but, I mean, shoot, the adrenaline after that win was like being at a UFC fight, man. You saw Cousins' emotions. You saw him yelling and screaming and, you know, there were a lot of down faces too, but that emotion, that charge from that game, man. I mean, and then to think what it's going to be like in Oracle tomorrow. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility this thing could go seven, man. I really thought that the Raptors needed to win that game. That they needed to get it over with. They didn't need to toy with the situation, and they definitely have.
Mark, thanks for joining the show. I'm still waiting at the house for you to pick me up, but it's okay. Car broke down. I love you anyway.
you're in a gated community, man. They don't let me in.
Whatever, big fella. Hey, when you saw the way that Kawhi, how aggressive he got at the end, is that something you could expect from him tomorrow, but more aggressive to even start earlier? Into why do you think that he wasn't aggressive, and what is some of the things the Warriors can do to slow him down?
You know, he's a lot like LeBron in the fact that he doesn't force it. You know what I mean? He's not like, you got assassins like Iverson was and Kobe was and KD can do, you know, Steph has it. But Kawhi just plays within the game always. So I never seen him as a guy that has to get 50, you know what I mean, or tries to, sure, like, take a game over. I think he probably needs to, and he actually started to in the fourth quarter. Then the timeout came, and that kind of ruined that. But, you know, I wonder, you know, he's won a finals MVP before, right?
So, he has. I mean,
but everything with him is so like Iceman, Gervin, cool, you know? It's just within the realm of the game. So, but look, man, what they say, pressure pops pipes. Let's see what happens as the pressure turns up, and it's turned up really high now.
Mark Spears joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. What do you think free agency holds for Kawhi Leonard? Some believe if he wins the title, it's going to be very difficult to leave Toronto, given how much that city's going to throw at him and how much they'd want him to stay. But the lure of playing at home in Los Angeles has got to be big for Leonard.
Well, you know what, there's that. But there's also, you know, this time I've spent in Canada, it's amazing, man. Like, I've never seen somebody that could be the face of a country. Like, wow. They love him there. They adore him there. He is, like, it's Gretzky and maybe Gordie Howe, and then you wonder if he's next. You know what I mean? And I've heard stories of people offering him a condo or offering him a car or offering him to pay him major endorsement money if he stays. The thing is, he's just a curious dude. Like, man, I don't know what he's into. I don't know if anybody really knows what he's into or what makes him tick. So it's just hard to gauge because he's the most mysterious NBA player I've ever been around. I've had one time I told somebody I had a 2-minute conversation with him, and at the end of that 2 minutes, the conversation was over, and he walked away, and I wouldn't even say, "All right, Ben," you know. You know, "All right, dude, good talk to you," you know.
Right.
It was just over, and he walked away. You know what I mean? It was just strange, you know. He's just a different cat, man. I don't know if this is true or not, so shout out to my boy Henry King. But he sent me a picture of it looked like it was Kawhi yesterday getting tacos by himself in the Mission.
Wow.
It's a different cat.
Yeah, and it's going to be fascinating as it pertains to his free agency. And you think about Kevin Durant, who has also been described as a, quote, different cat as well. How do you think this whole injury situation plays out as it pertains to his free agency? Will this ultimately be kind of a reflection on how he feels about the Warriors' medical staff?
That's a really good question.
Thank you, Mark.
We'll find out soon. We'll find out. We don't know, man. Like, I'm curious to who's he? Is he mad? Who's he mad at? Is there a finger pointing? If so, who is he pointing the finger at? Like, it's just so many unanswered questions right now because, and we may not have an answer until he decides where he goes. Like,
right.
I do think it might behoove him to just opt in and, you know, play next season with the Warriors and then figure it out again. But I really don't know, and we'll soon find out, like, how he truly feels about how everything went down.
Sure. It's going to be interesting to see how that works out. Where do you find that 11, even though KD came in and he was dominant when he played for that first quarter, where's that 11 coming from? Or is it needed? Or do you think this team can hold this team under 105 again?
I think the X factor is Cousins, man. Like, two wins, he played well. Two wins, he scored in the post and got rebounds and made passes. They need him to play well. The question is, I don't know what his role going to be. He was first half, he only got in because KD got hurt, right?
Right.
Second half, he was a major factor. Then you don't know what you're getting from Looney because of his injury. So, to me, if Cousins could play well, if he could do what he did in, you know, 2 and 5, I think that's really going to be the extra boost that the Warriors could use.
Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated, joining us here on the Dial Pad guest line. Mark, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much for jumping on, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Hey, man, tell your boy to send me his address, man, so I could go see him, man.
Lowe's talking to you. Can you do that?
Whatever, dog. Whatever. Me and you, we done. I got you. Love you, bro.
Love you. Later, fella.
What's that story about? He was supposed to pick you up?
Oh, he had, you know, he had a little party that he had was throwing last week, and he wanted me to roll over with him. So he sent me the flyer, and I was like, come get me. All right, dog. So he didn't come.
Was it in Amita or Fresno?
It was in the city. So we was going to head out to the city, you know, put on a show a little bit and get it in.
This is kind of a full circle feeling to me from when you Heisman'd everyone on the staff when you threw that little Super Bowl party, mm-hmm. and then they all kind of got the Heisman. And then now Marky Spears throws a similar party of similar gravitas, and this time it's you who got the Heisman.
Hung out at the bar next door.
Not everyone. I got in. Thanks, Lo. I got VIP access and everything.
Wasn't your name on the card?
I got, here's the beauty of this. I got in and then was trying to sneak other people in, and I got them in, but I had to make a series of trades to where all of it put the people I was with behind the VIP curtain with Freddie and everyone,
yeah.
and I was out. I could not get behind because all the trades I made with the wristbands got me removed from the situation. So I was at the bar by myself while my girlfriend, now wife, and everyone I was with was back there partying. I couldn't get back there anymore.
Man.
And
you,
I was the only
way.
One that originally had it.
Thank you, by
yeah,
the way.
Anna was one of the
yep,
people.
I
got her on the other side of the rope. She remembers.
I do.
Nikki was standing on the side of the rope at the bar that was VIP, and I was on the other side of the rope with the commoners. But it was a good time.
Good
I still appreciate it. Doc Chow was there.
Doc Chow
was there. I was partying with him. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I was close to saying it. But, Spears, great guy, though, no. But he, super guy. And I think I, too, agree with him that Cousins got to be big, Joe.
I want to jump into that. Give me a sec, though. I want to get two things brought up, and then I want to jump back into Boogie Cousins. Number one, U.S. Open locks. Today's Wednesday. Tomorrow when we go on air, tee times, you never know if guys are teeing off and you want people to have the information in advance. Do you have any locks for the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach?
I do, yeah. I do, Joe. I think it's Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth is my number one lock. The guy's been playing great. Normally you give the pick first and then you play the lock sound low. If you want to come over and push the buttons, we saw what a disaster it was when Anna did it.
It was fun.
You're welcome to
fun.
Come on over and try it.
Let's not get distracted. I like the locks. You like Jordan Spieth?
Pick, analysis, sound effects. I like Jordan Spieth. He's been playing great. He's won at Pebble previously. I think he's rounding into shape. He's the kind of guy who can putt on these bumpy greens. I like Jordan Spieth. That's how it usually works.
Now, outside of that, that's your number one pick. Do you have any other guys? Because generally with golf, you're allowed to throw out a few names.
Yes.
Are there any others you're considering?
Mid-price, Brant Snedeker also has played well at Pebble. Old Sneddy. He's been playing great. And my real wild card, dark horse, out of nowhere, Jim Furyk. Over 50 now, playing great. Another guy who needs, you have to have ball control at Pebble. It's not extraordinarily long. If you're in the rough, it's been as high as 8 inches, I've been told. Extraordinarily penal rough. Can I say penal rough? I believe we didn't dump that. Jim Furyk is my wild card.
Love the analysis. Jim Furyk melts like an ice cream cone in the Tahiti sun when it comes to the back nine of a major if he's in contention. Never liked him at the Ryder Cup. Never liked him in the big spots.
It happened here at Olympic Club.
I know.
The par five, I believe that's number 16, when he went snappy snap toward the lake and he ended up making a double and he lost his chance. But the U.S. Open,
it's a tough one.
It fits his format. He's done well at Pebble before. Those are my picks, Joe.
I'll throw a name out there that I'm stealing from my guy, Joe Pita, who lives here in the Bay Area.
Oh, Joe.
Joe Pita, great with baseball picks, great with golf picks. Follow him on Twitter, at MagicRatSF. MagicRatSF. Joe Pita likes Tommy Fleetwood. So you can get a good price there. I'm going to just back Pita. It's not my pick. I'm not giving the analysis. Obviously, if it's wrong, it goes on my ledger. But I learned a long time ago. If you don't have the info, find the smart people who do. Ride with them. I'm going to ride with Joe Pita. He had a bunch of picks to the Masters. Who won the Masters this past year? It's an obvious one, isn't it? Was it a big name? Why are we blanking on that?
I can't believe I'm blanking on it.
Justin Rose.
Oh, it was Tiger Woods. Tiger
oh, my
Woods.
God.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods.
Idiots.
That's a boo for us, for me mainly.
Idiots. A lot of people, myself Tiger, included, Tiger. Were like, yeah, the value's no good. Pita was a guy who liked Tiger Woods. He didn't hit all of his picks,
yeah.
But he's smart. He's got good analysis. He puts a lot of research in. He's floating Tommy Fleetwood out there as a good price. So I'm going to get that name out there.
He's been great in majors. Tiger plays
you got anything?
With Jordan Spieth. 2 o'clock, they go off.
Really?
Tiger Woods, y'all.
And why Justin not? Rose is the third member of that trio.
Yeah. Got to always watch out for him. I was working as a volunteer grandstand marshal at the U.S. Open at Marion when he won.
Okay.
So I followed him around a little bit. Tremendous golfer in all formats.
It's like, Joe, when you always say, when we're talking about basketball, you always say, "This, you already know who we should start off with." And I think in golf, at times, you just start off with that guy. Let's go with Tiger Woods.
I love
Tiger
it.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
Seems like a guy who couldn't come up with another name. That's how I'm interpreting what just happened there.
Well,
you think to yourself,
I know
Jordan, Tiger Woods. I don't know anyone else. I'm going to say Tiger Woods.
How about
I like
your, boy Philly Mick from San Diego?
Oh, Phil.
Did you see him get it? He got a hole-in-one on Jim Nance's fake par three behind his house at Pebble Beach. Video
I
went
didn't
viral.
See that.
So Nance has this mansion at Pebble Beach. Behind the mansion, he has a recreation of the famous seventh. It's an elevation. You're knocking down onto a green. You can just sit out in his backyard at Pebble and play the seventh. Now, obviously, no ocean, but Phil was there. Nance was filming it and calling it, and Mickelson had a hole-in-one on it.
Wow. That's incredible.
The one other note before we get back to Boogie and the Warriors, I want to address this just briefly because it's everywhere. U.S. women's national team in the World Cup, first game against Thailand yesterday, they win 13-0. People are in an uproar over the score, the running up of the score, and the celebrating that was taking place on goals 9 through 13 and whatnot. That sounds like a pretty accurate indication of what's going on. I'm not going to get too in-depth with all of it, but did anyone have a take on that? I know you were hot on it. I wanted to present you an opportunity to discuss it.
I think that it's just a terrible look when you're up 9-0 and you're doing double twirls and you're doing a power slide to celebrate a goal. It's great that you're still trying to score. I don't think at that level, World Cup level, you should have to hold back and intentionally not score or do 10 passes before you shoot. It's not Little League. But when you score your ninth goal and you're Megan Rapinoe, you've done this before. It's not like this is your one shining moment in your career. Act like you've been there before. She has been there before. You didn't need to rub it into Thailand's face. That was a bad look.
Anyone else have a thought on it? If you don't, it's no big deal. I know not everyone's been paying attention to it, but it is a topic that's out there today.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I know what you're saying. So I believe this. I believe they did that. Why? They don't believe they're going to win it. They had a. That's a moment for them.
Interesting take.
That is an interesting
very
take.
Very spicy.
Because they don't believe they're going to win it, so this is a time for them to shine. So they acted like they haven't been there before. So they're not a team that you're going to think that is they're going to finish in the top three. Possible, but probably not probable. So this is why they're acting out, because they got to score 13. Doesn't happen again, coach. Doesn't happen again.
Fascinating that Canadian analysts, soccer analysts, thought it was disgusting. Coming on the heels of what happened with the Kevin Durant injury. Just wanted to throw that out there. A lot of great audio of Canadian analysts talking about how despicable it was that the Americans were celebrating that late in a blowout win over Thailand. Thailand, you don't want to get celebrated on, get a stop. How about that? This isn't the amateurs, is it? Do we really have to hand out the lectures and tell everyone not to enjoy themselves? It happens once every 4 years.
Yes, but if that happened in pro sports, if you had a guy go up and, like when Jordan Bell threw the ball off the backboard and caught it and dunked it himself, that was something that was frowned upon. If you do that when you're up by 44, next trip down, someone's getting a flagrant two. And in this format, Thailand couldn't even catch up to anyone to enact any sort of revenge. They had to just take it.
Well, why are they there then? If they can't compete, why are they there?
The format is too big. You've got about six countries that can compete at that level, and then the rest of the countries are just pure fodder.
Right.
They're a top 40 country in the world, yet you lost 13-0. The tournament should be eight teams and eight teams only, but it's a cash grab, like with all these other international
sort of
events.
It's
sort of like Jamaican, the bobsled team. They just threw them out. It wasn't like they really could compete. So, but it's a country, so they have to put together.
But it's them against the clock. At least they didn't have to go out and get motorboated for 90 minutes and lose 13-0.
Still, was it really them against the clock? And how's that clock work out? You know what I'm saying? The worst time is pretty much just probably.
I never saw the end of the movie. Is that how it played out?
Yeah.
Oh, cool runnings.
Oh, cool.
Jamaican bobsled team.
Ah, come on, coach.
All right, Boogie Cousins. Yeah. Expectations for him in game six. You're going to need him. It's absurd to say, given everything he's been through, that you're going to need him. Think about this. Game five, he wasn't even going to play. Steiny and I took it on the chin with that one because I came and saw him in the morning and I go, over under 8.5 Boogie. And he's just like, nah, I don't have a pick. And then he comes out, he goes, are you talking points or are you talking points plus rebounds plus assists? Just points. He goes, it's definitely the under. We love the under because Durant was going to play. He wasn't. It was a great bet. It was such a great bet. We got it in, and then they took it off the board. That bet wasn't even offered later in the day when everyone realized exactly how the game was going to play out. And then Durant getting hurt forced Boogie into the game. It was the only way he was going to play. And then he went nuclear, and he went right past the 8.5 points in 4 or 5 minutes. It was incredible.
Yeah, it's six in the first, minute?
Three buckets immediately.
Right.
I had looked away. I was focusing on something else, like helping put the kid to bed or something. And I come back out, and I hear the announcers, oh, Boogie's incredible right now. Like, what the hell is he doing in the game?
Yeah.
My prop!
You know what? Here's the thing that you have to be mindful of, and hopefully Boogie understands this. You get in certain times situations, your adrenaline as an athlete or whatever, you get it's high. Your emotions and everything is high, and people expect a lot from you at times. No one expected anything from Boogie. You're talking about he was being active, but he was the third or fourth man on the bench. You saw him sitting there, but he was being a team player, going to cheerlead. He was just going to be a part of. He was going to be a part of the fiesta, but he wasn't going to be involved, like actually play.
Not making the fiestas.
Right, right. And so he was just sitting there, but it showed that this guy understand he didn't care if he didn't play because he just wanted to win. Take, for instance, two games prior to that, when he came in and played great, and all because it wasn't nothing expected of him. All of a sudden, then the following game, they said, Boogie again. Boogie's got to be big. What happened? Didn't score. They had the props at 13. Didn't even come close to it. Got in foul trouble because his expectations, and he was anticipating, and all the adrenaline, the big stage, for him to be great. And he failed. Now you're in a situation, the last game, where nothing was expected of him. So when he came in, it's like, let's go play. I'm loose. Nothing's expected. Now, this game, I think he's going to be better. But even though everything's expected, he hears what's going on. But last time it got too big for him.
He's too mental.
It's too right.
Yeah, so now, I can see that. That's a good point.
Can he come back this one and say, I'm not going to let myself go. I'm not going to get caught up in that. Quit putting the pressure on myself and go have fun like I did in game five. If he can do that, I think I believe he'll have a better game.
That's on Kerr and his teammates then. They got to settle him down a little bit, right? Because you're exactly right. You watch him in these spots, and it's like his mind is trying to play like the Boogie of old, but his body won't allow him to.
Absolutely.
And you can see how frustrated he gets, and it's sad because he's trying so hard.
And last game, he just went out there in that situation and showed out because nothing was expected of him.
Warrior playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game, presented by our friends at Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Your next chance to have an opportunity to win tickets to Game 6 of the NBA Finals is coming up at 11:30 with Steiny and Guru. But Mark Spears just joined us a few moments ago. He said Draymond Green told him after Game 5 that was one of the greatest wins of his life. Do you think it was up there as one of the greatest wins of this Warrior run? Let us know. 888-957-9570, Jolo and Dibs. Almost missing the read. Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. Woo! Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. So abrupt. There's no easy way to do this, but here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
We do love Fremont Bank. All right, thanks, Joe. We're counting down to the final game at Oracle Arena. Game 6 of the NBA Finals is tomorrow, and the Warriors have a chance to tie the Raptors in the series. And we're giving away a pair of tickets to that final game in Oakland. So here's how it works. We've announced the name of a Warrior player this morning at 7:30. We'll give out additional Warrior player names today at 11:30, 2:30, and 5:30. Remember all four of those names, because tomorrow morning at 7:30, you'll need to remember all of them to win. So coverage of Game 6 will start tomorrow with Warriors Live at 4:30 right here on 95.7 The Game. No word yet on Kevin Durant's MRI results, but keep it locked on 95.7 The Game for the latest updates. Can this core team get the job done? Paul Bonbonte will ask ESPN's Michael Wilbon at noon. Then head coach Steve Kerr will join the Dame and Bruce Show today at 5. This update is sponsored by Sutter East Bay Medical Foundation. Connect with the doctor who inspires your best health with primary care and same-day care options, including video visits. The Sutter Network has care to fit your every need. More at sutterhealth.org/primary care. I'm Anna Kagaraki's on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowen Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Wu-Tang Wednesday. Joe Lowen Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Spears from ESPN joined us a little while ago. He said he was talking to Draymond Green after Game 5, the one-point victory that kept the season alive, and Draymond told him it was the best win he had ever been a part of. Got us thinking, 5 years covering this team under Steve Kerr, was that the best win? You go back through it, there's so many emotions. Like, I can see why Draymond would say that. Everything you had to overcome, hostile building, season on the line, Durant's back, Durant's hot, Durant's down, fans cheering, things start slipping away, Kawhi goes hot late in the fourth, Draymond's picking up a tech at some point, and then the Warriors on the game-winning bucket from Klay. The ball movement, the beauty, the majestic manner in which they ran that play and got that ball into Klay's hands, pump fakes Kawhi out of his draws, steps over, gathers, knocks down the shot. This is a thing of beauty. I don't know. I mean, I'm so close to it. and there was so much to focus on that wasn't the win on the Durant injury, for example, I don't know if I'd rank it number one of the last 5 years.
I rank it number one. Man down, hand down. You had a situation where the best player in the association came out and played like he was and gave you an emotional lift that just had that Toronto building just in awe. People are watching him in warm-ups. People are watching this guy throw it down, KD, and you saw everyone like, oh, my God. You started that game, the Warriors, he gave them such an emotional lift that they were able to ride it throughout the game. You saw the ball movement, the way they were knocking down threes, and how many points they scored in the first quarter because KD came and played both sides of it. You saw him getting little Freddie's face after trying to play in defense, say, I'm here, you ain't getting none of that. You saw the way that he punked guys. He even had Kawhi kind of hesitant to shoot in the first. Just his presence was so much different. So, yes, I believe I can see why. What they've been through, this emotional ride that they've been on the brink of elimination, where everyone's – where the first time it feels as if they're just overmanned, they're overmatched. And for that to be an emotional win for him, the most emotional, I can see that. And you saw some of the frustrations. People don't want to talk about it. But right at the end of the game before that, when Toronto did go up, you saw him say, I want a piece of Kawhi, and instantly got a foul. It was because out of frustration, you know what I'm saying? You know the play I'm talking about.
Yes.
He was just over aggressive and he just got a foul.
And Kawhi's that good too. Yeah. Let's remember that.
Yeah. So I can see why for him in the atmosphere and all the things that was going on. I can see why emotionally that was the biggest win thus far.
Last 5 years, best win under Steve Kerr?
I don't think so, but I'm not going to refute what Draymond says. He's the one going through it. But I look back at games like last year against Houston, game 7, where you had to come from behind to even win that game to make it back to the NBA Finals. I think we too easily forget the stakes that were in play there. It was the whole idea of a dynasty at risk. If you lose to Houston, you don't even make the finals, and then maybe LeBron James gets another one. There was a lot of legacy questions at stake for me last year when you came back from being down 3-2 down, and in that game 7, you were down much of the way, down 54-43 as I look at it at halftime. It was a classic Dubcon 3 situation, but you were in peril in game 6, you were in peril in game 7. I would look to that one as a bigger game, and also the Claymaker game in game 6 against OKC. We mentioned earlier that you were down 3-1, but you had game 5 at home, which you won. Game 6 on the road was a massive result against KD and Russell Westbrook, a team that you were really having trouble beating. So last game, game 5 in this series was huge. I would put it behind those two other ones.
But you were better than both of those teams. I get it. But you were better than them. This is a team that you're not necessarily better than. And also, this is a team you got to realize, at a 3-92 out of the NBA Finals, you're talking about only two other teams have done this. So you went down in elite history. You're down by 6 with 3 minutes left. There's not a lot of teams. The sample size, 90-some games and only 3 teams? You're 1-3? That friggin' right there is an elite by itself.
I think the injury kind of overshadows it. While it plays a huge role for Draymond's reason, I got to get farther removed from that game to be able to go back and truly appreciate it. It's game 7 against Houston for me, by far. I did not sit for that game. I did not sit for a single second of that game. I had the pregnancy simulator on the line last year for that. We forget about that. That whole thing, like personally, I could see why to Draymond personally, that game was his best. Personally for me, if they don't win the title, I said going in, because remember, there was some doubt. They hadn't played well towards the end of the season. They were getting banged up. There were some questions. They had that complete motorboating where they got shredded in Indianapolis, right, against the Pacers. And they're down again by double digits in game 7. And I'm sitting there thinking this is over. I'm getting buried on Twitter. And then this run of, what was it, 27 straight misses from 3? Like, just I didn't sit for that entire game. It was watching that unfold while Golden State is rising above at the same time Houston is experiencing this incredible, monumental, epic collapse. And the fact that they had gotten there via the three-pointer, and they had gotten there via James Harden, and they were dying because of the three-pointer and because of James Harden. I still get chills thinking about that. That entire second half, especially in the fourth, the Warriors come storming back to take that lead, and you're thinking to yourself, this is an epic collapse on behalf of Houston. A 3-2 collapse, Game six, they could have put him away. They were up double digits. They blew it. Game seven, they're up double digits again. This time they're at home and they blow it. And they're missing three after three after three. I will never, never get that emotion.
Seven
out
for
of my
44,
body.
Coach, for the game. And just looking at the box score, Trevor Ariza, 0 of 12 in 42 minutes on the night. 0 of 12 in his last game as a Rocket. 0 of 9 from three-point land, by the way. So that was just a complete Houston calamity after the second half.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to get further removed from this one because if they go on to win, we'll look back on game five and I'll put it in a completely different light. I think part of the reason I'm not elevating it enough is part of the reason why the Claymaker game doesn't have its true place in history. It's because they didn't end up winning. They won the series, but they didn't win the title. And if they did, I think the Claymaker game goes down. I mean, more so than Jordan's flu game. I think it's like the all-time moment that's remembered. I don't know if there's another game in history where someone would be elevated to such a stratosphere that he would be in if they had gone on to win that title. Because that was the game. That was the performance. That was the ultimate big stage, bright lights, clutch performance when it was needed most.
And that's why this may be just emotionally for them. This is the most emotional game win for them. Because all the odds are against them, especially after KD goes down. And this team, they want to come home. This was a team that said, if we're going to go down, let's give it to our fans. Let's be here at Oracle Arena. I just think that win emotionally took so much out of the Warriors. You saw Steph Curry after the game, darn near in tears, just losing his brother, saying, I don't know how to handle this. I'm emotionally happy. I'm happy. I'm sad. I don't know how to feel. You see Kerr. All of those guys, you hear Boogie Cousin drop the F word and just how one of their brothers went down. All the things surrounding this team fought like hell to say, we're not going to lose in Toronto. We're not going to lose on foreign country. We're not going to let this happen in foreign soil where everyone's going to be partying. They refuse to lose.
At the very least, to crap on their parade is a little something to take home with you.
I think that's why he's saying they had the champagne in there. You heard Mark Spears.
Spears, no joke. That became a thing yesterday on social media when that got outed. And I think he was the one that did it, talking about media members, which it is very, very clear when it comes to credentials and everything else. You're not there to cheer. You're not there to pick a side. Now, granted, you may have a rooting interest. You keep your mouth shut. You're supposed to be a professional. That's why the media is off in its own section. You're not a fan. You're supposed to be there covering the game. He was talking about this, and he's not the only one. Media members going nuts for all that. Stephen A. Smith's on TV. He was next to a lot of the media members who were wearing the champagne like jackets, so that if they were going to get sprayed, they'd be covered. Like, they were all set. He said they were about to go down in the elevator together. Yeah, that's all over social media too. So speak about that so at the very least, you got to take a great moment for a once proud nation and just rip their heart out, Indiana Jones style. Chuck it on the ground.
Yeah, you had their event workers working double duty twice as hard. Because you know when Kawhi goes on the 10-0 run, you start to hear that, the carts are getting wheeled in. The champagne was already on ice. They were set, but they were getting ready to wheel the carts in and hang the plastic. And all of a sudden, Nick Nurse calls timeout. I wonder if the word got back to them in the bowels of the stadium. Hey, Nurse called timeout. Hold the champagne. they stopped the momentum of our own team.
Do you know how fun it is to come out? Think about when you're in college. Or anything to your party. Didn't you want to party with your friends, your family, your thing? You don't go out of town and say, I'm a new guy and in this town, I'm going to go party. You don't even know
partying at high school friends' colleges was also kind of nice because you could trash the place and then you didn't have to worry about anything. They had to deal with all the repercussions. Maybe that was just me. But like when I would go to other colleges to visit high school friends, like West Virginia, Virginia Tech, whatever it may be, the smaller state schools, Shippensburg, Bloomsburg, Kutztown, all that.
Yeah.
There's no
and
regard.
You get to be.
There's no regard.
You can be somebody
different. You got ridden up by campus popo. You're never coming back.
Didn't matter. I walked into the dining hall at UC Davis so often they thought I lived there.
Did you really?
Oh yeah, free meals, coach. Because you know you go there and then Saturday morning you wake up. It's like, oh man, I gotta get some food. Hey, let me borrow your ID or whatever.
And just go right in the chow line.
Yeah, flow right
just
in. Let's go.
Restlessness.
But my also, point quick is, you guys just crapped on my. You guys just tore my
sorry.
Point is.
Sorry
point,
about that.
No, my point is though. Think about here, if Toronto do happen to win, You think they're going to celebrate? Isn't it different? They don't. The family members, all the different people surrounding.
You got to get on a plane and go home.
Exactly.
You'd rather just be in your city doing your thing and go home to your bed or the hotel that night.
Right.
You don't have to.
They're
going to
stay tonight here if they win. It's just like you don't get to share it with your people that really mean something to you if they happen to win. So I think the Warriors, just by getting that win, to me, was huge.
All right. From the 209 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, driving through the Moo, what's a good local spot to stop at?
Come on. If you're in the L-Town, if you want to stop at a place, go to the Vineyard Inn and tell them Low Neil sent you and tell them you want the Low Neil special. They have the liver and onion still on the menu.
Just really?
Ew. That's your special?
What happened just right there?
What, the gallbladder wasn't available?
Ugh.
What happened right now? You guys asked me something.
Let me get a pancreas and soda, barkeep.
God. All right, so to sort through this
just,
there's a listener who's driving through the Moo, wants a recommendation.
L-Town,
the Moo, whatever. We're all speaking of the same place. Wants a recommendation on a place to eat. There's a place called the Vineyard Inn.
Vineyard Inn.
And there's a Low Neil special, and it's liver and onions.
Yes, it's not even on the menu.
Can't do it.
There's a reason it's not on the menu.
Listen,
no one's going to order it.
It's great food. You can go there. It's a great little breakfast
spot. I'm sure the place is great.
Cool.
I don't know about the meal, the liver and onions.
Or you can go to Bethel's, and it's another little Mexican spot. You can get the carnitas and also get them, it comes. That's pretty good. And
you've had the carnitas there, Anna?
I'm just saying carnitas in general, much better than liver and onions.
Couldn't let that just slide by.
Why are you
going to address it?
Why did you do that?
My late father used to eat liver and onions. God rest his soul. He would serve that up, or he would occasionally get it home or go out to dinner and eat it. But Dad, what in... Who in their right mind would intentionally just eat another animal's liver? And I know as a vegetarian this is coming out of left field, but
loaded with
I'm all
iron.
About...
Liver and onions is great.
Gross.
Loaded with iron. It's really good as long as it's cooked well.
I'd rather take an iron pill?
I'd rather eat iron.
Two eggs over easy with it, with some
I'd
onions.
Rather eat
really...
iron. I'd rather eat actual iron on a plate than liver and onions to get my iron.
Good too at Bethel's.
Here's
really
what scares
good.
Me more about that. The fact that it's not on the menu and they just have it. How long has it been sitting there? When
they
you
bring
know,
it fresh when I come to town, so they know.
How often you eat liver and onions?
And how fresh they go out to the paddock and then they just take down a cow and then slap out its liver and throw it on a plate.
See, this is what happens when you go to the Moo. This is what happens in the Moo.
Or the Boo.
You know what? You guys asked me, where's a great spot? The guy's driving through the L-Town. Go to Vineyard.
He's in the
Inn.
Moo.
Also, it's called commentary. You say something and then people comment on it.
It was too much. It was
not too much. It's disgusting.
It went to disgusting. All three of you guys just went haywire. You asked me where to go. Vineyard Inn. If he wants a different pizza spot that he doesn't know around here, can't get in.
No. You're not going to come out and just do all your shout outs to get your free food. That's not what's going to happen. No one asked you about the Mita. No one asked you about anything local.
Oh, come on.
You were specifically asked about a place in the Moo.
In the L-Town.
You gave a suggestion.
Me and Ed's Pizza in L-Town. You don't have me and Ed's out here, right, Dibs?
Listen to all these nonsense.
It's in L-Town. It's in Lemoore. I'm telling you a place that you don't have.
Yeah, try the liver pizza. It's really good. Let me get the gallbladder salad.
Can I get you know what? I got to be honest. While we're on it, Bay Area, it doesn't do pizza well. And that's okay. You do food probably better than anyone in the country. It's you versus New York. Like Bay Area versus New York City. I'll put these restaurants up against anything. There is some incredible food in this town.
Pizza.
Incredible. But you got to be honest. Pizza's just not the thing here. Pizza's not the thing. I've tried some places that are okay, but when you stack up against some of the great cities, this pizza's not the thing.
What's your
I don't know if
style?
That's taken as, I'll try all of them. I'll try everything. I'm open. I love pizza. Like, I realized recently, pizza's my favorite food. I had this discussion with my wife recently. Why do I keep trying to fight it? I have all these elaborate dishes that I say are my favorite food. Nah, when in doubt, pizza. Love it. Love it. And I'm willing to try everything. And even bad pizza, it's okay.
Right.
I'm not going to be overly critical.
I got you.
But it really just doesn't stack up. Versus some of the greats. And
it
like
doesn't.
I said, that's okay. You got more 3 stars than anybody.
Right.
So it's all right.
And I think the hallmark of this town from a culinary standpoint, and you can speak to
culinary,
it better
right?
having gone to a lot of these restaurants, it's the wide variety. You can get great food in Vietnamese,
right.
Cambodian, Mexican, Italian. You can go across all ranges. May not be the best of the best in any one genre, but across 25 or 30 genre. You're probably among the top 5.
Well said. Diversity, versatility, I think creativity, the creativity of some of the dishes and what people are going for here, second to none. These tasting menus, some of these places, if you go to State Bird, that place is incredible. It's got a Michelin star. It's not even expensive. It's incredible. But when it comes to pizza, I'm sorry.
Chicago, New York.
I'll bring you guys.
New York is just killer in pizza. And then a lot of cities. You have New York transplants. You have East Coast. You know, a lot of Italians.
You love the pie though, pizza kind of too, right? So,
like I said, I like it all.
Okay.
I like it all. If you really start to divide it up and you start talking about pan pizza and deep dish in Chicago, now you're in a whole different world. You have to classify deep. You're not going to put deep dish up against New York. It's all New York's against New York's, and then all deep dishes against deep dishes. They're like different dishes. But, you know, that's just the scenario. Like, I like all of it. I'm not going to sit there. The Neapolitan stuff people make, the gourmet stuff, it's all good. But by and large, just give me the big cheese pie. The big cheese Italian pie that you get at any Italian place. Famous Ray's, New York City, stuff like that. You know, it's just, I can't find it here. I've been trying. I've been thinking about going on a crusade to rip off the dude from Barstool. Thinking about doing just pizza reviews. Just going around all the pizza places in the city and trying to come up with a definitive list of the top pizza joints in the city.
You know, I lock this up for you, and you can lock this up that you would like it, the Star Pizza, because they got the big pie.
Is that in San Francisco?
It's in the Mita.
I got to come to Mita.
Oh, that's why I'll bring you one. Dibs, you would like it, and they do vegetarian.
It's not fair to them. By the time you get it here, it's not going to be warm. It's not fair to them when I judge it.
Yeah. But because I know you won't come over there. It's your style. They got the Chicago style, the thick.
How do you know what my style is? You keep telling me Chicago's my style. I keep telling you it's not.
It's just good.
And yet you keep telling me.
I know what you like. I've been around you.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. Joe, I've been around you long enough. You mightn't disagree, but I know you.
Beat it.
And you love
just,
me.
Just, you know
what? And you like.
Put an egg in your shoe. Put one of those liver and onion eggs in that you like so much. Put it in your shoe. Beat it. What do you got? What are you talking? You got a place. Now, I swear to God,
San Francisco.
If this is a Greek place
or this is
some crazy off-the-wall carnival place, I'm going to lose my mind.
Spanakana and Nacas pizza.
I will be. If you might
it's
have actually
Euro
known this.
Place that also serves pizza.
It's not. It is not. It is not even. I don't even know the owners. I don't know anybody. I've been there.
So no shilling here.
No affiliation.
Okay.
No affiliation. A16. I think it's on Chestnut.
Oh, that's Michael Mina's joint.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a classic joint. It's very,
very good.
Yes. Yeah.
You just looked it up right now, but you haven't.
No, because I've been there and I couldn't remember what the number was. I couldn't remember if it was 16.
I'll give her credit here. Yeah. It's a good joint.
Really
it's
good.
More, go- it's fancy. It's Michael Mina's joint.
That's fancy, fancy. You won at home.
Still good.
I know.
It's still good. She's still accurate. It's not Greek.
Range.
She's not chilling.
I mean, I'll eat Costco pizza for goodness sakes. I love Costco.
I was convinced she was going to give me like some. Some deli that also makes pizza. And it's like, no, I'm not. I'm not necessarily looking for that.
Speaking of pizza, it's right on
the. I'll eat that. Yeah, I'll eat that. It's not bad. No. All right.
Give us a winner, Joe.
All right. Lost yesterday. Update on Bet162. Loser yesterday. Totally miscapped that game. Had the Padres -1.5. Paddock had been having a really nice season, but he was shaky. He was shaky in his last two outings. I overlooked it. He was not trending well. My mistake. Giants got on him. Giants played very well yesterday, winning that game. Actually, an exciting game. Third hottest temperature in the history of Oracle Park for a start time.
Ooh.
Third hottest temperature yesterday. I think Kerry Crowley had that tweet. Third hottest. That's how hot it's been in this damn city.
Hot.
And by the way, weathermen, newsflash, stop telling me it's going to be reasonable and then it's hot. Tell me it's going to be hot and then have it reasonable. They keep doing this. You get a whole week on the app. You get a whole week of guys telling you it's going to be beautiful. And then it rains every day. Then it's only going to be 72, and it gets to 95.
Right.
Stop missing in the wrong direction. Instead, tell me it's going to be 110 so that when it's 95, I feel good about myself. How has no one told the weathermen to aim like that?
Please.
Like, you're going to be allowed to get stuff wrong all the time. Don't get it wrong in the direction that hurts people, right?
Right.
Like, if you think it might rain a little bit, tell me it's going to be a full week of rain.
Right.
Then if I get a day of sunshine,
I'm happy.
I'm going to be thrilled.
Right.
Aim low. Set the bar so much lower.
And stores, have some fans when people come in. I'm sorry, we're all out of fans. Ridiculous.
Did you try to buy a fan recently?
Yesterday. I go into a big box store of one.
Let me tell you something, buddy. If you're in Florida during hurricane season, it's going to be tough to find an umbrella. You know why?
Let me tell you
everyone's
Joe.
Trying to buy them.
You know what? These are big
Bo wakes
stores.
Up. I think I should get a fan. That's what literally everyone is thinking in the oppressive heat. You got to go contrarian. Right now, you don't need to show a snow shovel. Go out and buy a snow shovel. I bet you can find one anywhere.
Lots of use here.
Well, based on the way the climate's trending, you're going to need it at some point. All right. All right. So we lost yesterday. We are still plus, though. We are still plus. 65 games in the Bet162. We're up, I don't know. For some reason, I don't have it in front of me. It's less than $100. Today's pick. Can I get a drum roll, please? Under 7.5 total runs, risking 115 to win 100. Originally, I went into it and I go, I like the over. I just looked at the pitchers. I said, I like the over. Then I watched the betting market go the complete opposite direction to me. And I said, you know what? What better than my pick than to fade my pick? Fading myself today. Hashtag fading ball. Leaned over early. Now I'm going under. One unit, 115 to win 100, up $65 on the season. So if I lose this, I'm back in the red. If I win, we stay in the black. That's the situation for today. Steiny and Guru, coming up next. Your next chance to win or have an opportunity to win, Game 6 NBA Finals tickets at 11:30 for Dibs, Ann, and Lo. I'm Joe. Thanks for hanging out with us today, everyone. Greatly appreciate it, as always. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. right here, 95.7 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.